Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible said, I need someone. Let's see. Brother Brian, would you get me a bottle of water from over yonder, brother? I appreciate that. My throat feels like it's closing up already. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Watch verse 7. I don't think we'll get to it tonight, but I want to read it. Even as it is meet or necessary for me to think this of you all, I love this phrase because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I appreciate Paul's spirit, don't you? And I appreciate this letter that he's writing to the church here at Philippi. Thank you, Brother Brian. That's a blessing, buddy. Appreciate it very much. All right. I want to pray just a moment and then get started here and see if we can finish verse 1 up here tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God now and how it speaks to our hearts. God, we thank you, Lord, for what we've learned already in verse number 1, and ask you, Father, tonight, to, Lord, just to continue to stir our hearts, our Father, as we go on into this verse tonight. Lord, we ask your blessings now upon the reading and the preaching and teaching of thy word. And God, we just ask you tonight, Lord, just hover over us, our Father, with your sweet presence. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have some things I want to look at tonight, how many believes that every word of God is inspired and every word of God is important? God didn't put these phrases in here, and he didn't put things in the Bible just to be sticking something in there. And so as we've broke down this verse here for the last few weeks, we looked at Paul, and he didn't want to go on his own. Timotheus, he included him. We talked about being servants of Jesus Christ, and we talked about how that Paul was no respecter of persons. He would write to all the saints. And then we really got hung up in that phrase, in Christ Jesus. But I can't think of a better place in the Word of God to get hung up. Can you? Amen. What a blessing that little phrase has been in my life. After I taught that night or preached that night on that subject, in Christ Jesus, I heard someone else say that 40 in the Word of God was the number of judgment. I said it was the number of testing and the number of trial. That's what my research showed up to me. And then I heard someone, it might have been in the camp meeting, say that it was the number of judgment. That still fits Christ. He bore our judgment in the tree. Amen. Not only did he live perfect, but thank God he died perfect. Amen. And bore our judgment in his body on that tree. My dad has a phrase. You'll get to meet my dad if you haven't met him yet. Maybe Sunday night, Lord willing, he's coming over and bringing his friend Pat with him. And you'll get to meet my dad. But my dad has a phrase when somebody says, "How you doing, John?" or "How you doing?" he always says this, "Better than I deserve." And my father has been asked many times, "Well, what do you mean, John?" And he'll say, "Well, all I ever deserved was to go to hell. But Jesus saved my soul. And as long as I'm in this world, I'll be better than I ever deserved. And then when I'm with him, I'll still be better than I ever deserved. Amen. And I like that, don't you? Now, I want to look tonight at these last couple phrases here. The Bible said, in Christ Jesus, and then it uses this phrase, which are at Philippi, which are at Philippi. I think it's important when you're looking in the Word of God to understand that when our Lord is talking about the church, He's not talking about something that's invisible, something that's universal. He's talking about a local assembly of born-again believers. Amen? And Paul said, "This church, I'm writing this church, this letter to this church that's at Philippi." If you'll remember, turn over with me to Revelation just a moment. I believe there's really not enough emphasis put in our generation on the local church. And I'll say this, there's a whole lot of things out there going on, and not all of it's bad. I'm going to go ahead and say it's possible to run into a group of people that do not have the word church in their name, but still believe the Word of God and still been born again. But I'll tell you, a whole lot of it's a bunch of junk. And when you leave off, why would we be ashamed to be a church? Amen. And in the seven churches in the Revelation, you'll remember that our Lord, He says unto the church in verse 1 of chapter 2 of the church at Ephesus, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write. He said, "Preacher, what's the big deal?" Well, it's just this. It's an assembly that God is addressing. It's a group of people in a distinct place. When you go over to verse 12, and to the angel of the church at Pergamos write. And how many knows that God knows, boy, this will bless your heart. How many knows that God knows what's right in every one of these churches? And God knows what's wrong, amen, in some of these churches. There's a couple of them He never mentions anything negative, amen. But thank God, I think about, you know, with Bible Way. Listen, we're a church in His eyes, amen. And He knows what we need even before we ask, amen. And how important it is that we understand that His eye is on the sparrow and He loves the church, amen. And He knows what the church needs. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. He knows how to deal with it. You say, "Well, preacher, we thought that's what you were here for. I'm a seeking His face," amen. And I tell you, He's the one that's got the answers, amen. And I appreciate Him. Now, the Bible said here in verse number 18, "And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write." You go over there and there's the church at Sardis. Then there's the church at Philadelphia. There's the church at Laodicea. There's a church in Rome. There's a church at Corinth. There's a church at Thessalonica. There's a church at Galatia. There's the church here at Philippi. There's the church at Corinth. There's the church over there at Colossae. And so what I'm just trying to get you to see is when it says at Philippi, which are at Philippi, you say, "Well, preacher, that doesn't do anything for me." It does me. It blesses my heart to know that the God of heaven would address a group of people, amen, and write a letter to them, amen, and we get to glean from it. Because I'll tell you right now, we can go over and we can glean from all of these churches, can we not? Can we not compare and look and see needs even in our own church as we look at churches that God has addressed down through the years? And so there's the church at Philippi. It's a local assembly. There's a lot of people say, "Well, it really don't matter about the church." Well, one of the things, you know, that we believe, I'm not going to go into a lot of it tonight, but listen to me carefully. One of the things we believe is the autonomy of the church. In other words, we don't have somebody writing in here and telling preacher what to preach Sunday morning. Amen. We don't have somebody where we send all of our money off somewhere and have absolutely no say into what missionaries are supported out of that money. How many's listening to me tonight? Amen. And I believe that pleases God, the local church, that pleases God. Now, Christ is the head of the church. Amen. And I believe that tonight. And I believe that's the way that it ought to be set up. And so, I'm not slamming other churches, but what I am saying is, I thank God that we are what we are by the grace of God. Amen. Jesus, He purchased the church. Turn over in your Bible, if you will, please. Let me say something before that. He founded the church. How many remembers over there when Jesus told Peter, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. He said, "Well, preacher, I thought we had a part in that." We do. Amen. We're laborers together with him. That's a whole nother message. Amen. I preached that over at Jonesboro. But I believe with all of my heart that God is the one. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand how we can be laborers and yet he's doing the building." Well, it's kind of like this. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, "One man sows and another man waters, but God gives the increase." Think about my wife came in today. She went over there, you know, at Bob's as bad as John Dockery. Amen. I don't know if Brother John's ever watered them flowers that he dreamed about. Amen. But Bob put out a garden, him and Charity, and then he goes to Nashville, Miss Eve's out there today picking it. Amen. I'm just throwing off a little bit on Bob. You can tell him, Brother Jeff, when he gets back. Amen. And you say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" Here's what I'm trying to say. They could plow. They could till. They can lay off a row. They can plant. But thank God Miss Eve come in with a bunch of green beans today because God gave the increase. Amen. There was not one thing they could do. God rained on them. God watered them. God let the sun shine on them. I'll guarantee you if you covered them up with black plastic, they wouldn't be here. Amen. They had to have light and they had to have water and they had to have the nutrients from the ground. And I believe that's what we need to realize in the work of God. We're laborers. We have a part in it. They wouldn't have any green beans if he hadn't to put the seed in the ground. But they wouldn't have any green beans if God hadn't to give the increase. Amen. 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 The church at Philippi. It's a local church. Jesus founded the church. But look with me in Acts chapter 20 just a moment. In verse number 28. I like this. This blesses me every time I read it. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Not only did Jesus found the church. How many's glad the church is on a rock? I'm telling you, this world's rocking and a reeling, but the church is on a rock. It's on the rock of ages. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, the church is going down." No, God's church is going up. Amen. The Bible said here in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, he said, let me read verse 27. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." How many of you all will admit with me that there are parts of the Bible that we like better than other parts of the Bible? Is somebody home tonight? Amen. There's parts of the Bible that don't really plow next to our corn as close as other parts of the Bible. But Paul said, "I'm going to give you the whole counsel. I'm going to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I'm going to tell you, that is a job. Amen. I want to be that kind of pastor that would not go and just pick and choose, but give it all. Amen. All that God would put in my heart. And then in verse 28, he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." And you know, you've heard somebody say, well, one pastor talking to another. Or maybe somebody talking to a pastor. They say, well, or one church member talking to another. They say, well, how's your church doing? And they don't mean anything by that. What they're doing is just identifying. You know what I mean? If it would be over at Good Shepherd, how's your church doing? Or if it would be over at Oak Glen, how's your church doing, Brother Danny? You know, and or somebody say, Brother Vinoy, how's your church doing? Well, we're overseers, but it's not our church. And I'll show you right here what I mean. The Bible said here, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." I'll tell you, the church belongs to Jesus tonight. Amen. He has purchased it with his own blood. He said, "For this know," Paul said, "after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I believe with all my heart that our Lord founded the church. Our Lord purchased the church. And that church at Philippi was important to the Lord. Jesus is also pleased to meet with the church. If you'll remember over there in Matthew chapter 18, he said, where two or three are gathered. Somebody tell me the next word. Somebody tell me the next word. Where two or three are gathered. Together. That's the next word. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, if Jesus is going to be in the midst of a church where two or three are gathered together, if you were the devil, what would you try to do? What would you try to do? Amen. If Jesus is going to meet with as many as few as two or three that are going to gather together in his name, what would you try to do if you were the devil? By the way, has anybody ever heard Paul Harvey's commentary, If I Were the Devil? If you haven't, you need to just go online and listen to that. Amen. He said that years ago when everything he said, if I were the devil, I would do, the devil's doing. Amen. You go on there and listen to it. Amen. It's a description of our day and hour right down the line. Amen. If I were the devil and I knew that Jesus was going to meet with two or three that would gather together, I would do everything in my power to see to it that I disrupted the unity, disrupted the harmony, and disrupted God's people being together. How many's with me right there? Amen. You say, preacher, why would you mention that? I'll tell you why I'm mentioning it tonight. Because I believe that we can see what he's up to. Amen. In our own hearts and in our own lives sometimes when he's trying to divide us. Amen. He purchased the church with his own blood. And he's pleased to dwell in the church. If you remember the church at Jerusalem, go there with me just a minute tonight. Over there in the book of Acts. I remember years ago, preacher said there's four books in the Bible that we should frequent. Three books, I'm sorry, that we should frequent. He said the book of Proverbs gives us wisdom. The book of Psalms will keep our hearts sweet. And we need that. Would somebody help me right there? We need both of them. Amen. But then he said we ought to frequent the book of Acts. He said because that will keep us reminded of what the New Testament church is here for. And how that it ought to operate. Now, in the plan for Jesus' plan for the church, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42 down through verse number 47. The Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. You say, preacher, how can you get off of Philippi and get over here to a church at Jerusalem? Because I'm wanting you to see that what was going on in Jerusalem was going on at Philippi. And that's why in verse number 3, the Apostle Paul could say, every time I think about you all, I thank my God for you. Every time I remember you. Amen. And the Bible said here, they continued steadfastly. And then in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. Let me make a statement tonight. I hope I won't be misunderstood. But I don't know of any church that I've ever been in that couldn't use a good dose of the old-fashioned fear of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that would go a long way. Amen. Fear came upon every soul. And in other words, people would be afraid, amen, to do some things or say some things or be labeled in some way. And the Bible said fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. How many knows we're not in the generation of signs now? Amen. The Jews required a sign. You're going to see a transaction in the book of Acts from the Jew to the Gentile. The Bible's going to be completed and the signs are going away. Amen. And God wants us to. By the way, I believe that's why Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. That ought to bless our hearts, amen? It's because we're living in a generation we can't show anybody anything. All we can do is point them to the Word of God, amen? And by faith, that's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. If we didn't get saved by grace through faith, we didn't get saved. Amen? That's how we get saved. And so, notice here what's in this early church. They that believed were together. There's that word again. They had all things common. Now, they were looking for Jesus to come immediately. They sold their possessions, their goods. They parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I believe with all my heart when you look here at the plan that Jesus wanted us to preach and pray. He wanted us to worship and witness. He wanted us to fellowship and find favor. And he wanted us to go and glean. In verse number 42, you find fellowship. In verse 43, there's fear. In verse number 42 and verse number 46, you find faithfulness in that word continued. 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 This generation, a lot of people don't know anything about continuing. Amen. They start, but they don't finish the race that's set before them. God wants us to be faithful. And then in verse number 46, you find harmony. They were in one accord. In verse number 46, there was gladness and singleness of heart. There was happiness. In verse number 46, there was a harvest. Amen. Souls were added to the church daily. I'm just trying to get us to see tonight that God has his eye on the church. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but we ought to rest in that. Amen. We're not going to make it from here to heaven without some trials. We're not going to make it from here to heaven without some difficulties. We're not going to make it from here to heaven without our church being attacked. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. But it ought to bless our heart to know, amen, that it's his church. And he's got his eye on it tonight. Amen. The church which is at Philippi. Now, let's go back to Philippians chapter number 1. I'm just running down a little bit of reference there on the church. It's a local church. Amen. And I believe tonight that it's important I believe that we ought to support the local church. Yeah. Amen. And I believe with all my heart tonight that it's wonderful. I know it is to be a part of a local church. Amen. You know, I can remember I was telling the missionary the story. It's been 11 years ago now, 11 plus years ago now. I had resigned down at Liberty Baptist, and at that point, I didn't know for sure what I was going to do. I knew that God would lead the way. He had before, and he would again. And I was candidating in a church. I got to meet some of those people last week in camp meeting up at Landmark, where I was saved when God broke my heart for the prison ministry and put me in the prison ministry. And after the Lord showed me that he wanted me to be in prison ministry, I began to pray, Lord, where are we going to go to church? Let me tell you something. It ain't no good to stand up and preach that you ought to be faithful to church and then be a missionary or anything else and not be faithful to church. Amen. And so I said, Lord, where are we going to go to church? And I'm not going to go into it a lot, but I couldn't just go anywhere. Amen. I needed to know where God wanted me to go. Amen. I needed to know where I could go and be at home. And so I prayed. And while I was in the midst of that season of prayer, I was in a preacher's fellowship. And we were up at Bell Meadows Baptist Church in Bristol. And I turned around and Brother Danny Sykes was standing behind me. It was a fellowship time. And I said, Brother Danny, I said, how would you feel about being my pastor? I'll never forget it. He looked at me as we shook hands. He said, Brother Rick, I'd be honored to be your pastor. I said, we'll be there Sunday morning and we'll join Sunday morning. Amen. He said, well, didn't you want to hear him preach a month or two? I didn't have to. I knew what he stood for. Amen. But you know, I told Brother Danny one time, I said, Brother, I feel like I need a visitor's card when I don't show up but once every 3 or 4 months. He said, Brother Rick, don't worry about it. You're doing what God called you to do, and I know what you're doing. Everything's fine. Amen? And I appreciate that. Amen? I had that liberty to go and preach and try to raise my support and preach revivals, but I was still a member. By the way, a lot of people throw this off on Rock of Ages. They'll say they're not local church. You ever hear that? Come to me or send them to me. Amen. They are local church. Just because they have a president and a vice president, I'm going to tell you something right now. One of the requirements is that the men be a member. Hey, let me back up. A tithing member. Amen. Of a local New Testament Baptist church. Amen. And so they are local church. They communicate with the pastors, and they don't usurp the authority over the church. Amen. It's just an organization where the men can work through in the prison. And so what I'm trying to say tonight is God is blessing the church. Now, he said here, which are at Philippi. Now, watch this. I think this is interesting tonight. I'm going to finish this verse tonight. I'm not going to go into an in-depth study on the bishops and the deacons, but I could. Amen? But it's important. I'm going to give you a couple things tonight hurriedly. Number one, I think the order is interesting. He said, now, preacher, what do you mean? Watch it here. Please watch it with me. He said, to all the saints which are in Christ Jesus. See it up there in the verse? And then he said, with the bishops and the deacons. Boy, when I read that and God was stirring in my heart concerning this verse of Scripture, I thought, Lord, that's the way it ought to be right there. Listen, it wasn't the bishops first and then the saints. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, God said, he wrote, I think the order is important. Amen. To all the saints. And then he said, with the bishops and the deacons. What are you trying to say, preacher? I believe God wants us to know, ain't no big I's and little U's in this thing. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. A man can be a good deacon. Amen. And be in submission to God, be in submission, amen, to His Heavenly Father and the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can be a good deacon until he wants to be a boss. Yes, right. Somebody help me, amen. You say, preacher, what happened when he wants to be a boss? He stopped being a deacon, turned into a deacon. That's exactly what he did, amen. Now, preacher, you ain't got no business saying stuff like that. Same goes for the pastor. Amen. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'm not a boss over anything. Amen. We're here to serve the Lord together. And I believe with all my heart the offices are important. And when you say bishop, you're talking about the office. When you say elder, you're talking about the individual that is in that office. But I think it's very, very wonderful that our Lord, in the order that he put here to all the saints, and then he said, with the bishops and the deacons. The New Testament church has officers, and we need that. And we need direction, and we need wisdom. I will say this tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. I thank God for the deacons that we have. I do. I thank God for them. Let me say this right here. The number one qualification for a deacon in most churches is completely overlooked. Completely. They're looking for somebody that's got prestige or got a name or got money or can manage. And all those things are good. But God said, I'm looking for a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. A man that's walking with God and he wants to follow the Lord. That's what I'm looking for in a deacon. Amen. I'm looking for somebody that has a servant's heart. For somebody that wants to serve the Lord. And he's looking for that in the bishop and the elder as well. Turn with me, if you will, over to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I love the Word of God, and I love the God of the Word. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. I want to say this tonight. I'm not trying to correct the Bible. The Bible's always right. But in my heart, I feel like I'm doing the best work that there is to do on this planet. You say, preacher, who do you think you are? I don't think I'm anybody. But I tell you what, this office this work. You say, preacher, wouldn't you rather be president? Not in this generation or any other. Say amen. How could we rather do something other than what God's will is for our lives? A man called me. Well, he called me last fall. And then he came and visited our church. And he wanted to talk to me after church in the office. Then a couple weeks ago, he called me. And he said, Brother Rick, I don't know what's going on. He said, Pastor, I need your prayers. And he told me what his pastor had asked him to prepare to do. And I knew what was going on, but I didn't have the liberty, nor would I take the liberty to say what was going on. My pastor knew what was going on in my life before I knew it too. But thank God he kept his mouth shut. He let God do it. Amen. He just prayed and talked to the Lord. Well, Sunday night, my phone rang again. I had to call him back. I was at the hospital late Sunday night, and I called him back. And he called me back then on Monday morning. And he said, Brother Rick, God has called me to preach. I said, I knew that. Amen. I knew that. I said, but I didn't have the liberty to tell you that. You needed to know that from God. But what I told him when he was looking for the will of God, I said, Brother Matt, here's the hardest thing for a believer to do. I said, that's fine neutral. I said, don't approach the Word of God with your mind already made up. And don't pray with your mind already made up. I said, you just get in neutral and say, God, whichever gear you want to put it in gear and I'll go with you. Amen. And I tell you what he did. He found neutral. And God directed his steps. I told him, I said, we need a good man on the front line. Say amen. Hey, too many of them. He mentioned, he said, Brother, he said, if I do this, I went back yonder 2 weeks ago. He said, if I do this, he said, I finally got the job I've always wanted. He said, I'm making the money I've always wanted. He said, if I was to do this, I just don't know. I said, I know. Amen. He said, what happens when a man gets to praying and find neutral? That other stuff disappears. He gets his eyes on the master, amen. And he desired the office of a bishop, amen. And God blessed his heart and blessing my heart as well. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. That reminds me of, I think I heard that Brother Jack said it years ago. He said the worst thing that's happened to a lot of men is the first time somebody said amen while they was preaching. Amen. They got lifted up. Amen. I heard a story about a fellow that, boy, God called him and he was going to get up there and give it to him, Brother Fred. He had it all planned out. He was ready to go. He said he jumped up there and looked like a veiny rooster, the cock of the walk. Amen. Said about 5 minutes he run out of something to say. And he come down real sheepish-like. Said the old preacher sitting alongside him said, son, if you'd have went up like you come down, you could have come down like you went up. Amen. Amen. God has a work to do. And God wants to use us. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Boy, these are powerful words, amen? Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I see tonight, as Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi, he wants us to know something about all the saints. He wants us to know something about being in Christ Jesus. He wants us to know something about the local church, and He wants us to know something about the officers in that church. If I were to ask you tonight, what are the two offices in the New Testament church? You would know what that is, right? That we ordain deacons and we ordain preachers, amen? And then the preachers fall under a pastor, a missionary, or an evangelist. And then what about the two ordinances of the local church? What are the two ordinances of the local church? Anybody know? Yet, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Amen. And so God has His eye on the local church. And I don't know about you, but this verse has blessed my heart. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all them, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. We'll go on in our lesson, maybe, Lord willing, I guess that'll be two Wednesday nights from now, on Philippians chapter 1, and get into verse number 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I love verse 7 because I have you in my heart. What a blessing tonight to hear from the Apostle Paul as he writes to this local church. I don't know how big the church was, but I'll tell you this. It was big if Jesus was there, and He was there. Amen. I had a man say years ago, he said, I pastor a little church over in the country. And I said, well, does the Lord meet with you? He said, He sure does, preacher. I said, then it's not little. I said, you might be two or three of you all, but when He shows up, it gets big. I'd rather have two or three with Him than 2,000 or 3,000 without Him. Amen. Any day. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the church at Philippi. Thank you for the man of God that had the church in his heart. Lord, how could we be like Jesus and not have the church in our heart? God, how I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd remind us from time to time, Lord, that we are somebody, not apart from you, but in Christ Jesus, we're children of the Most High God. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Father, I know that Paul said that he was confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe that when Bob and Charity and Miss Eve put that seed in the ground, they were confident, Lord, that you would bless. Confident, Lord, in the law of the harvest, the law of sowing and reaping. Lord, others have put out gardens and they're blooming and they're beautiful. God, we thank you for the garden. God, we thank you for the garden of souls that you've given us to work in. This little piece of the field, our Father, that belongs to our heavenly Boaz. I pray, God, you'd help us to be faithful, to labor. Lord, like old Brother Rightly Salin said, till the sun goes down. Help us to stay in the field. Lord, Brother Billy, back on his feet, back out preaching. Wanting to finish the race that's set before him. Want the Lord to stay in the field till the sun goes down. God, you put the Word of God in our heart. It's like a fire that burns in our heart. Thank you, God, for a place to stand and deliver what you've put in our hearts in these days. God, will give you glory now for all you do in Jesus' name.